And our guest, and I'm honored to have our guest on today, is Dr. Shola Shadi Ezekoli, and her websites are ShaulaEzekoli.com, and the last name is spelled E-Z-O-K-O-L-I.
E-Z-E-O-K-O-L-I. E-Z-E-O-K-O-L-I.
E-Z-O-K-O-L-I. Okay.
Ezekoli.
Ezekoli. And Shola Shadi. Shadi spelled S-H-A-D-E, ShaulaShadi.com. And you must read her blog, which we're going to get to, because she has a lot to share with us. It's it's amazing some of the things that you've written about that are of such great interest. Now, anyway, we're talking about the CDC and flu vaccines. And the other thing, too, is that... The idea that a whole entity would go from being a profitless situation to having stockholders and profits. And then you also, when people did get the measles, and even if you were vaccinated, sometimes you were required to have a booster vaccination, and then another booster, and might that contribute to... Well, kind of the immune system, the destruction, or have an impact on the immune system, particularly when you read about the ingredients in some of these vaccines. Some of those ingredients are a little bit scary, like formaldehyde and that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, our blood has formaldehyde in it, you know? So, so it's not, well... In order to make a vaccine deliverable, it just there are just certain things that have to go into it to make it what they call bioavailable. So they are inactive ingredients in as of themselves. The inoculum is a small amount, and it's just like you know, medicines too. You know, you have the active ingredient, which is small, but you have a bunch of inactive ingredients, like even in your Tylenol and whatnot, that make the medicine that you're trying to deliver more deliverable to the system. But back to what you were saying about the flu shot. The flu shot generally, I do remember in one year where they said it was 75% effective. And so there is no vaccine that is 100% effective, just like there's no medicine that's 100% effective. Nothing is 100% effective. However, they take it as the benefits of having the vaccine in. So, for example, let's say we have 100 people who would have gotten the flu anyway. If it was so that means it's 70. If we give all those 100 people the flu shot, 75 of them will be protected. 25 of them won't be. So that's taking it from 100 people that would get the flu to 25 people that would get the flu, okay? And, you know, that's where it comes into where you actually see people who did get the flu shot and they still got the flu. It is, however, had been noted that even when they did get the flu, it wasn't as severe. And the flu, especially last year, you know, people did die from it. And the best, while things, there are things that are ineffective, it's about doing the best you can and keep working on that until you get the most effective method. It's not a perfect system, I know, but it's better than than everything we've had so far. So it's still better than having somebody, you know, die, whatever it is, at a young age or whatever, if they catch the disease, as opposed to the risk from the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Or the risk of it not being effective.
Okay. The other thing is that you were talking about adjuvants in the vaccines. I'm not sure what year it was, but they added peanut oil to some vaccines, which, of course, the body... rejected this and viewed it as an invader, which our bodies have self-healing properties and can recognize when something foreign is coming into their body. And so now you have a whole new industry in the EpiPen creation, where all these children are now carrying EpiPens that used to be very, very reasonably priced, are now just way, way up there. And there are school children. I remember growing up, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches were wonderful. Peanut butter and jam sandwich, oh gosh, they were great.
Yeah.
But now
they're everywhere and you just eat them.
Right. And they're good. I haven't had one for a long time, but I remember how good they were. And now children can't take peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to school. They can't. I've even heard of people who, maybe it was on a TV program, I don't know, but some person had just had some peanuts and kissed somebody that was allergic, and the person who was allergic went into anaphylactic shock. Uh-huh. And so, you know, some of these things that they're putting in the vaccines are causing some horrible repercussions.
So I'm not aware of the peanut oil. So full disclosure, that's something that I'm not aware of and I'm, you know, I'll, you know, very happily, of course, go and study up on it. There certainly appears to be very high level of allergies that, you know, it does make you wonder why, you know, it really does. Like, why are these children experiencing allergies to things that are not, you know, it's like, you can't, like you said, my children, you can't take peanuts into the school building. They're just pretty much banned. You can't take anything as peanuts, you know, into the school building. And then they have special tables for people who are allergic to peanuts, so they can sit away from, you know, just in case, you know. So yeah, it makes you wonder, and you know, I'm definitely happy to go and do my own, you know, personal research on, you know, the peanut oil and the vaccines, because it's disturbing on many levels, right? Because the last thing you want is people reacting to things. And the interesting thing about this EpiPen, which is you know, now EpiPens are so expensive, you know, which is another, you know, the minute the prices went up, somebody got an $18 million raise, and somebody wrote it into law that, and then somebody's daddy wrote it into law that the EpiPen should be in all schools, you know? So this is what we're dealing with, like, people who have no interest in health running the show and health. And all the people who are interested in health, the doctors, the patients, the nurses, the, you know, the truthsayers, being disempowered from really being able to effect any change, because the big change is brought about by the big money at the top of the game. And that is very, very disheartening. I have friends whose children need EpiPen. And the beautiful, wonderful thing, I mean that very sarcastically, the insurance company doesn't want to cover this EpiPen anymore. Or they'll cover like a couple of dollars out of a $600 medicine.
Which is horrible. Because people depend on the insurance companies. They're paying for insurance, and it was Merck that decided in September of 1964 to create the adjuvant 65, and they're the ones that did it. And there's a whole book about it, written by, oh, I can't remember the name of the lady that wrote the book, but I'm sure it'll come to me momentarily.
I'm going to go read up on it.
She really explained the whole situation, and it's pretty damning, because now you have all these children, and it's not just that they're going to be allergic for 3 months or 6 months.
Yep.
It's a lifetime situation.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
because of one ingredient that Merck decided to put into vaccines. Pretty awful. So, let me share something with you. In 1973, Nixon did a personal favor for his friend and campaign financier, Edgar Kaiser, then president and chairman of Kaiser Permanente. Nixon signed into law the Health Maintenance Organization Act of 1973, in which medical insurance agencies, hospitals, clinics, and even doctors could begin functioning as for-profit business entities instead of the service organizations they were intended to be, and which insurance company got the first taste of federal subsidies to implement this law. It was HMOA 73. Why? It was Kaiser Permanente. Permanente. And what are the odds? Right? It really goes back to profit. And I think when a person doesn't go into medicine thinking, oh, I wonder how much money I can make. Certainly.
No, not really. No.
They're thinking more about helping their other fellow beings. They're not doing it out of profit. They're doing it out of compassion, concern for their fellow beings. But the big insurance companies and big government and big pharma see it as a different kind of a situation. They're looking at it as profit.
As profit, and it's disturbing. And what I find the most painful is that, you know, the weird thing, you can still make a profit doing the right thing. You still can. Because the truth is that, okay, let me give you an example of something that happened to a friend of mine recently. Because I hear all these stories from doctors. She had a patient in the hospital that the insurance company wanted her to discharge. And she's like, you know what? Person one more day and they'll be, you know, fit and ready to go. But guess what happened? Somebody from the insurance company literally prevailed upon them to discharge this patient. Like, we're not going to pay, da, 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 da. Guess what happened? Patient went home and was back with a complication just within 2 days. So that's more waste, because this patient, if they had stayed for one more day, right, they wouldn't have spent as much money as hustling the patient out, now having to do all the work to readmit them for a complication, whereas just the staying of one more day and they would have gone home and not had that complication. So a lot of these so-called decisions are, you know, when it boils down to, they're not helping patients, and they're actually making healthcare more expensive than it needs to be.
Right.
This is what we're up against. This is what we're up against. This is what doctors are up against. And for some reason, you know, the weirdest thing, people hold up doctors. It's now that, you know, so for example, with programs like yours and, you know, other programs like this, people like doctors, like someone like me, can actually have a voice and say something. But what has happened historically is that the doctors are held up as the bad boys of medicine.
Right. You're getting blamed for something that you didn't do.
Didn't have any control over. I remember once I wrote a prescription for a patient. Girl, I have stories. Sorry, I said girl.
It's okay, I'm a girl.
I wrote a prescription for a patient, which I felt she really needed. And they said, the insurance company said, what about this other option? I said, this will be too strong. This is the best for this particular patient. I mean, I know the patient. You know, frail little lady, you don't want people to think something is too strong for them. And you're always thinking of, doctors always weighing these decisions. So in my mind, and I discussed with the patient, this is the best medicine for you to take. What happened? The insurance company denied it. And do you know what they do? They sent a letter to the patient saying, your doctor did not provide enough, and I'm only quoting this verbatim, because
gosh.
I was mad. When they showed me the letter, I nearly pulled my hair out.
Yes, they're blaming you.
Provide enough information as to why you needed this medicine. Thank goodness there was a paper trail. I showed them. I showed them the prescription. I sat them down and I said, this was what transpired with this phone call. We called. I showed them all the papers where I'd done something called a prior authorization. In my mind, those should be illegal, because they now want you to prove, as though your medical knowledge is not enough, they want you to prove again, why does this patient need this medicine? So I did, and I did that. So I showed them physically the paperwork. But what happens is most doctors wouldn't do that because, you know, nobody wants to feel as if they're just giving excuses. But I actually had them come in. I said, ma'am, sir, I'm sorry, but this is the truth of what happened. Your insurance company sent you this letter, but it's not the truth. I did everything they asked, and they still denied it, and then turned around and said, your doctor did not provide.
Wow.
See? Yes. And this is not happening with just one patient. Not two, not three. It's happening across the country, across the board.
Right. Well, and you're the one that has to face the patient, and yet...
Yes.
You're receiving condemnation from people who should be supporting you.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they're putting all of the blame on you.
Yes. The doctor is the bad guy. The doctor didn't give me this medicine. The doctor told me I had this. You can even hear it in the parlance. Well, I went to the doctor and the doctor told me I had this. No, the doctor didn't tell you had this. You have it. We're just diagnosing. We don't give people. I actually told some of us, ma'am, we don't give people diseases. We just find out what is there, you know, and try to help you. So,
right.
Yes, that is part of what doctors and patients are up against. Because ultimately, the work of doctors is to help our patients. But we have, for some reason, people say doctors are in the pockets of pharmaceutical companies. And no doubt some are, okay? Some are, but most are not. I certainly wasn't, because I'm like, if only it were that easy. They say doctors, they blame doctors for what the pharmaceutical companies do, what the insurance companies do, and what the government does.
Right. Wow. Well, there is a book that I mentioned. It's called The Peanut Allergy Epidemic, What's Causing It and How to Stop It. And a lady by the name of Heather Frazier wrote this. It was published in 2015, and then there was a rewriting of it with Robert F. Kennedy contributing.
Hmm.
So I think it's of value.
You can be sure I will be reading that book.
Yes, Peanut Allergy Epidemic is what it's called.
By Heather Frazier.
Oh, gosh.
Hey.
What a predicament. No wonder doctors get blamed for stuff that they didn't do. They only went into the practice of medicine because they're compassionate, idealistic,
and
they want to help their fellow men, women, children.
And
they get blamed for it if something goes wrong. They get stuck with the blame because they're the ones that faces the patient. And also, the patient places their trust in the doctor. They see them face to face. They're not going to place their trust in somebody they don't know, but it's somebody that they don't know who's making these dreadful decisions and putting the blame
dreadful
on the doctor. That really stinks.
It's very, very sad. It's very sad. And doctors try. You know, we push back, you know.
Of course
you
do. Absolutely.
Yeah, we push back. We're just trying to do our best for our patients.
Absolutely. All righty. We'll be right back after a brief message from our sponsors.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel, with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All righty, we are back. I love that song. I always hate to cut into that song because I think that each of us are very important and we can make a difference. One person can make a difference. And I think today, that person that can make a difference is Dr. Shola Shaddy, and she's our guest today, and I'm delighted to have her on the program. And I will post her websites in the chat room. And anyway, we're talking about vaccines, talking about peanut allergies and whatnot. And when I was a child, which was a long time ago, you didn't go bankrupt because you had a disease. If you had catastrophic disease now, you'd have to mortgage your house, whereas before, you'd go into the doctor and they would fix you up, and it was reasonable. And also, and I pointed this out in my book about Sandy Hook, that what did I point out? What did I point out? The incidence of this TV advertising. If you watched television all day, which I wouldn't recommend you doing, but if you did, most of the, I would say probably 75% to 80% of all the commercials have to do with pharmaceutical drugs. There's only two countries in the world that practice direct to consumer advertising, and those two countries are America and New Zealand. So that when people see this on TV and they're programming, remember, programming, and especially 75% of the people learn visually. And so they show you these wonderful pictures of people riding through the country with their hair blowing, you know, out in a convertible. And meanwhile, down at the bottom of the page, it says you could get sick and die. You could have heart palpitations.
Your toe falls off and your heart jumps out of your body.
Right. And meanwhile, they show you these beautiful pictures, and nobody's reading this stuff at the bottom. And
it goes by so fast, right?
Right. And so really, people will then look at these commercials and run into their doctor and say, I want this, this, and this. And without even thinking, well, gosh, shouldn't you investigate this? Shouldn't you look down at the bottom and read what they're telling you? This is a public announcement. And since you have been warned publicly, you cannot sue the pharmaceutical company because you have been warned. This is a public notice.
That is correct, and it's unfortunate. And people like to chase. So I'm going to say a couple of things about that. You're right, yes. No one in the world advertises medicine. It's illegal in most places. When I came to the U.S., because I grew up in Nigeria, I was born in England, I grew up in Nigeria. When I came to the U.S., I was like, wow, they advertise medicine on TV? Now, I would say that to people, and people look at me like, yeah. And I'm like, isn't it strange? You know, people are like, no. And I would say, you know, this is not done anywhere else in the world. I didn't even know about the New Zealand. And I said, you know, this isn't done anywhere else in the world, right? And to everyone, because, of course, I was talking to people from the U.S., Americans, it's normal. But again, like you said, people run into their doctors and ask for this medicine. I would tell my patients who would ask, and they would say things, they would usually start with, Dr. E, because they called me Dr. E. A lot of them can't pronounce my name, right? So they say, hey, Dr. E, have you heard of this medicine? And first I would keep quiet because, you know, I know where this is going. I said, what about it? Well, I saw this on TV, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So I said to them, well, I don't get my medical knowledge from TV. So that sort of quiets them a little bit. So I am more interested in your health and your welfare than my pocket.
Wow.
That's just the way it is. I'm more interested. I want your welfare. So if you're going to fight me and be mad at me because I'm not prescribing you this new medicine, then be mad at me, but be healthy, right? I would rather you were mad at me and healthy than happy with me, and then something bad happens to you. So I would tell patients up front. I say, when new medicines come out, unless we are out of options, I don't prescribe them for unless they've been on the market for 3 or more years. And the only reason I would prescribe a new medicine is if we've tried everything else and we are out of options. Ma'am, sir, do you understand me? And then, you know, some of them are like, okay. And some of them, I would then have to bring out something. I say, look, this medicine as it is now, I won't prescribe it for my mother unless we're out of options. And then they're like, oh. So that caught people off guard, like, oh. She ain't going to give it to her mother. She's not going to give it to her mother. So, you know, maybe there's something here. And I think for me, one of the things I did was being very authentic with my patients and very open. So it made them trust me. So if I say, you know what, take this old medicine that's been around since the 1940s and has been proven to do this same thing as this new medicine that you are trying to chase after.
Wow. All righty. Going to a 3-minute break. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Reaching for a dream of peace to break the madness.
You know this.
And our guest today is Dr. Shola Shetty. Dr. E is what her patients call her. Call her. And I really admire your mentality, and
thank you.
The trust that you must inspire in your patients to really talk with them. And I'll bet that you spend more than 7 minutes with each patient.
I had to laugh at that. I had to fight for 3 years to spend 20 minutes. I have 20-minute appointments. I had to fight because I was given 15. And in these 15 minutes, it's not 15 minutes with you and the patient. It's 15 minutes with the nurse getting them from the front, bringing them in, asking them a ton of sometimes unnecessary questions, which are requirements by the government and not necessarily questions that have to do with your clinical visits, weigh them, take a history, and then you come in. Of course, by the time you come in, your 15 minutes is almost over because it takes 15 minutes to just say hello to somebody.
Right.
So, and it takes more than 15 minutes to engender trust. And it takes more than 15 minutes to treat complex medical problems because you know that this patient is not going to, it's not like, oh, you know what? I forgot something. Doc, I'll come back tomorrow. No, because your schedule is booked tomorrow with 20 to 25 patients. They're not going to see you for 3 months. You have to deal with bad diabetes, bad hypertension, bad asthma, bad liver problems in 15 minutes. It's not possible. And some of my colleagues, like you said, some of my colleagues in other places are given 10 minutes. And when you don't stick to that time, you're told you're not seeing enough patients, we're going to cut your salary, et cetera, and on it goes.
Wow.
So, yes, this, again, I keep saying, these are some of the things that doctors are up against, that because we've been, I would say, socialized, remember what we said about residency, in a sort of do as you're told way, you have to be stoic, you have to put your brave face forward, you're Superman, don't let anybody know what goes on behind the scenes.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
John D. Ehrlichman, who was with Nixon in 1973, when they passed the HMO Act of 1973, mm-hmm. said, the less care they give them, meaning doctors, the more money they make. Mm. I don't think you went into this to make money, and I don't think a lot of doctors go into it to make money. But this was their mentality.
That's frightening.
It is. And you were mentioning, too, that new medicines, and that new medicines, well, they really just have not been tested. and you also have to recognize that who is behind some of the campaigns. And there was a campaign, and it's called DART, D-A-R-T, and this organization, which was financed by Eli Lilly, published 8 million brochures titled Depression, What You Need to Know. And they also published 200,000 posters that they made sure got around. And DART means a Depression, Awareness, Recognition, and Treatment. And this was in 1988. And they had a $750,000 budget. And in 1988, I believe, I'd have to look it up, I wrote about it. But they created, this is 87, they created a drug called Prozac. And by 1990, President George H.W. Bush, who was formerly a board member at Eli Lilly, signed a presidential proclamation confirming House Joint Resolution 174 that declared that 1990 was the first year of the decade of the brain. So he was working right along with Eli Lilly. And when Prozac came out, it came out in 1980, along with a lot of other SSRIs, Prozac was actually tested on only 287 people, and then they produced it, and the public became the guinea pigs. And it's very unfortunate because a lot of people got hooked on it. A lot of people suffered horribly. A lot of suicides. And this was only tested on 200. Yes. Yes, because what they were doing was using these drugs off-label, which they would take one drug and say, oh, well, this would be good for you, when it wasn't written for the particular situation that the patient was at the doctor's to see. But, gosh, now you have people in just a short period of time. Excuse me. By April of 2014, you have almost 79,000 people in this country on psychiatric drugs. And you have to ask yourself, gosh, what happened? Because now it's something that's very common that If you have depression, if you're depressed about something, and who hasn't been depressed about something once in a while?
I know, right?
Used to be
people call people.
Yes,
I did mean 70,
it's actually 78,694,222.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be that when you were depressed about something that had happened in your life, you'd sit on the front porch with your neighbor and you'd chat, and pretty soon you felt better.
This is a big issue, even for me. We've lost the community contact that is so vital, to our health. Back in the day, like you said, people sat and they talked and they, you know, they weren't necessarily medicated for it. And it's funny how I would have patients who would come and be on antidepressants, and I would tell them, and I would try. I would say, you know what, let's get you into a therapist. Because, and this is what my sense was, look, if you're going to come off this medicine, let's have you in a with a therapist so that we can, you know, teach you some sort of thought modification process as opposed to just throwing some pills at you, maybe make you feel better, but not dealing with the thing that's made you depressed in the first place. Now, there are a small amount of people who do have situations where, quote unquote, everything seems fine and they have no reason to be depressed. They call that melancholic depression, and those ones, some of those have had benefits from medication. However, I'm very leery about throwing Prozac at somebody for every little thing. I've had situations where I've had to sit down and talk with people, cry, rant, rave. And I feel certain, almost certain, that if I'd gone to a doctor with these problems, I might have been written up for a medicine, you know?
Right.
And I have certainly seen people who have been on medicines that haven't worked. Again, too, I've seen people who have been on the medicines that have worked, so put that out there. But I really, really believe that there's a loss, like you said, the community contact that we once had, that where people just rallied around you. And even as we become more connected, people are more lonely. People are more lonely now. You know, there's social media that's supposed to be connecting people, but it seems like those end up being somewhat artificial because everyone on social media is just putting their best foot forward. So it's not really a connection, more of just, oh, look at me. I'm on my vacation and blah, blah, blah. Look at me. And hey, look, full disclosure, I do it too, right? I post my vacation pictures. And
of course.
You know?
Of course.
But
you're not going to post something that's negative about yourself or your life.
Of course. However, the remembrance that I always have at the back of my mind that if I have a real problem, I need human beings in my life that I can see and touch and, you know, that can talk to me and talk to me through these things. We talk about Prozac. If only there was similar investment in actual therapists, actual human beings who can talk people, I would say, who can do a cognitive work with people to help them lift those thoughts, to help them find ways of coping that don't involve medicine. Mental health services, real mental health services, are being cut right, left, and center. In Chicago, for example, a few years ago, they cut so many mental health services. So people who were in, you know, they were in homes, they had group therapy and all that. All of a sudden, all these people, they spilled out of group therapy. There's nowhere for them to go. They come to a doctor who were like, here's some Prozac, you know?
Right.
So it's like a two-faced thing where you claim to be more focused on mental health, but really you're not, because the services, the real services that people need, as in the qualified therapist, the psychiatrist to do therapy and not just give medicines. I mean, now reimbursement rates for mental health professionals for therapy is so low that a lot of them can't even afford to take insurance. So So you go to someone. So I have a problem, right? I'm like, oh, I need a person to talk to. Well, I have insurance. I have HMO. It's Classic Blue. That's the HMO I have. I'm going to go and talk to blah, blah, blah. The first thing you go is, well, we don't take this insurance. We don't take that insurance. You have to pay cash or you have to have a PPO. And sometimes the person who's in that kind of situation can't afford any cash.
Right.
This is all they have. This is all they have, and the services just aren't there. It's like you're putting your money in the wrong place and the wrong space. Just because this thing you're doing is going to make money for a few people. Whereas if you invest in real therapy, real mental health therapy, and things that make meaning in the long term, you know, I don't know, maybe they haven't found a way to overly monetize that. So for that reason, it's just like, well, it's sad to me.
It is. And the other, and as you brought up a good point, is that therapy, insurance companies won't cover therapy for 60 minutes, yet they will cover a medication meeting, which may take 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And
so it's so sad. It's disturbing on many, many levels. It's disturbing. I mean, someone like me, I'm grateful and fortunate to have this knowledge and have a very good support system. But some people don't have that. For some people, a therapist might be the only human in their life that they can talk to, and they can sit and address things. This happened to me a few years ago. Somebody came into my office talking about being depressed. I said, so I listened to her story. And as I listened, you know, she was really venting. She was talking. As you may have guessed, this took more than 15 minutes.
Sure.
Somebody's talking. I have to listen. She's crying. She's venting. She's pouring out of her. And I say, how long have you felt this way? She says, 3 years. But I haven't found anyone to talk to.
Oh.
I was like, oh, my goodness. So I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I did something a little bit unorthodox. I said, you know, I said, ma'am, can I pray? She said, okay, yeah, sure. So I held her hands. We prayed. Yeah, like I said, a bit unorthodox. And I said, okay, what do you feel? And I went the conversation about antidepressants, right? What do you feel about this, da-da-da-da-da, and all that? She said, you know what, doctor? If there's some other way, da-da-da. So we went back and forth. We didn't have insurance for a therapist, but of course our insurance would pay for medicine. So now I'm torn. I said, okay, you know what? Here's a prescription. Hold it, okay? Don't take it yet, but hold on to it. Do this little thing. Try this here. I gave her some little, the kind of things I would talk to my coaching clients about, right? I said, okay, try this. You know, this is, you know, let's think about this differently. Let's do this differently. Let's try to get you some better sleep. Let's, you know, talk about a few habits that you could change. I said, just hold the prescription, but come back and see me in 3 weeks. And if you're even a little bit better, we'll tear this up. She said, okay, I'll do that. Of course, she was in my office for like an hour. But I'm like,
wow.
You know, let's try, right? Let's try. So she comes back in 3 weeks. She's a new person. She said, doctor, I even tore the prescription up myself because I know I'm not going to need it.
Wonderful.
So I'm like, well, if that's one person that we could snatch away from the, you know, having to go down that road, then yay, good for us.
I'm just so, so appreciative of what you just shared. It is unfortunate that more doctors are not like you. And I'm very sincere in telling you this. What a remarkable person you are.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You are welcome. Let's talk about some of your coaching and some of the things that you do, unless you want to talk further about medicine, but on your blog,
yes.
You have talked about balancing, and you're certainly an example of somebody that balances their life. And you talk about on your blog, you say the unstoppable trio for long-term success, and then you talk about goals. Do your rest, the power of a personal retreat, handling haters, 8 simple keys that work for all. And these are just, and there's 2 parts to that. But these are life lessons, and I think they were just wonderful. So anyway, we will be right back in 3 minutes. Be right back.
Thank you.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Alrighty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today, who is a certified professional coach, and she helps people medically as well as giving them information on just lives and how to be happier and finding balance in your life. And her name is Dr. Shola Shadi, Dr. E. And again, I will post her website. Websites? Oh, somebody already did in the chat room. And SholaShadi.com/coaching. And somebody else posted something from Peter Bregan, which he is also somebody that attempts to talk with people rather than simply throw a bottle of medicine at them. So I think you two would get along very well together.
I'm sure we would.
Yes. So tell us about your blog, and tell us, how do you handle haters? And
yes, haters.
And there's a lot of people full of anger out there.
Mm-hmm. That is true. But I think the thing is up to us as people to decide that we can only influence so much, and we should keep our concern and energy on the things that we can actually change and do something about that, as opposed to just being outraged over every single thing that moves. So about my blog, I recently launched a new website. Actually, I haven't even launched it publicly yet, but shalaizokoli.com, and I'm, you know, blogging is part of, you know, what I do. I write these articles so that people can come read it and, you know, hopefully apply what they see to change their lives. And being a doctor, it's not just words and rhetoric for me. It's about actually helping people with information that can empower them, that they can use. I always say that if ever I'm given a public, I used to say that a long time ago, if ever I'm given a public platform to do anything, I will always give people information they can use to better themselves. So I'm not just saying stuff to say stuff or to, because I like the sound of my voice, which I actually do like the sound of my voice.
Good, I like it too.
Thank you. I like the sound of my voice, strange accent and all, but the fact is that I really just enjoy giving people information that makes them go, aha, okay, I can use that, and I can use it to help myself, so that I'm not just talking. So one of the pieces I wrote on my blog talk about handling haters, because like you said, there are a lot of people who are angry, and there are a lot of times people like to scream the word hater at everything. So, you know, it's almost as though it's impossible for people to have a nuanced conversation these days. I mean, like this conversation we had about vaccines, we're on different sides, but we're having a conversation. So,
right.
You know, I think it's worth exploring how to
absolutely
handle
haters. Okay, we're at the top of the hour. We'll come right back and we'll talk about haters versus lovers. Be right back.
Yes.
Healthy are your arteries. Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.